You're listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast, part of the Sports for the Fans podcast network. I'm Matthew Atkins. Alongside me is my co-host Trey Lyle out there in Kansas, coming to us via Zoom once again. Trey, you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
I did. I actually went to Manhattan, Kansas. So I'm a K-State. Hung out with a couple friends of mine that I've met out here through various interviews I've done through the K-State Online, their website. So the K-State, their managing editor, Matt Hall, shout out to him. And he hung out with him and a couple friends, watched, I know this sounds weird, some pro wrestling. AEW Double or Nothing this weekend, partied a little bit, so enjoyed myself. It rained all weekend, most except for Saturday, so that was a little unfortunate. Wanted to play some golf on Monday when I was off, but, you know, you got to live with it. Was productive, cleaned up my apartment, which was something I needed to do. How was yours?
Pretty good. It was really a long celebration weekend. Had my birthday on Thursday. And
that is true.
Yeah, so my girlfriend Mariah came up for that on Thursday. She stayed all weekend, so we went or tried to go hiking on Saturday, ended up getting yelled at by a crazy lady who said we were on private property when we were really in the national park. So that was a fun experience.
That had to be fun. Breweries, how does it feel to be 23?
Oh, it's weird, man. I feel old already.
I agree. I do. Honestly, I feel 23. It was also like, you know, it's been 1 year since we both graduated. We graduated right next to each other, so that was fun. And so, you went to some breweries?
Yeah, breweries are back open in Virginia, so you still got to sit outside and try to keep socially distant, but it was a good experience, and then just had a cookout on Memorial Day with the family, so it was a good time.
I had Cracker Barrel for the first time in a while this past weekend, and nice. We could, like, sit in the restaurant. It's just, like, a little more spread out. Because there's not much here in Hiawatha, Kansas, very small town, but Manhattan's very similar to Blacksburg. Like, it basically is, I describe Manhattan the best way I can is that if you took Christiansburg and Blacksburg and put them together, it's basically Manhattan. And so, kind of that feel to it. So, it was pretty interesting the way to describe that.
Well, that sounds like a good time. Speaking of Blacksburg, real quick, before we dive into any Major League Baseball talk, two players from Virginia Tech earned All-American honors, even though the college baseball season was shortened due to coronavirus. Carson Taylor and Ian Seymour each earned third-team All-American honors in NCAA Division I baseball. So congratulations to them. That's cool to see that happening in Blacksburg. I think the baseball team is making some strides there under Coach John Sheff in his third year now. And I think they're moving forward, moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I remember year one, we're talking about the definitely the foundation that's being laid there, getting to know John Sheff from a couple interviews we've been able to do, each of us. You know, the program he built at the University of Maryland before he came to Virginia Tech is a good foundation, and he's got high hopes, and the baseball team has a new stadium and a new facility, so a lot of money's been invested into the Virginia Tech baseball program, and I think it's diving in. And obviously Ian Seymour's got a little bit more higher goals than an All-American. I've seen as high as, I believe, a third round draft grade on Ian Seymour in the upcoming MLB draft, so definitely a pretty interesting. I don't know off the top of my head the last time that's the highest Virginia Tech player's been drafted in a while. I feel like,
yeah, I'd have to look that up, but I feel like that would be one of the highest draft picks Virginia Tech has ever had if he were to get drafted in the third round. That'd be pretty good, pretty impressive for the Hokies. So yeah, good things going on in Blacksburg. Speaking of college baseball, make sure to check out last Friday's episode of the podcast if you haven't already. I was joined by Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com to talk about the changing landscape of college baseball. A lot of programs are in danger of getting cut. Bowling Green and Furman have already had their baseball teams cut due to the economic effects of coronavirus. And so it's an interesting situation to watch as this crisis continues to take its toll on all parts of life, but college athletics are taking a lot of negative effects from this crisis. So check out that episode if you haven't already. But let's dive into our topics for today. Like we said, we are each 23 years old now. We've had birthdays recently in the past 2 weeks, so we're now in our Jordan year, as the kids say these days.
Yes, and we are.
Michael Jordan has gotten a lot of press recently due to the ESPN documentary The Last Dance, which I haven't actually watched any of. I know you've watched it, all of it. Have you watched all of it?
So, yeah, I've watched all of it. I watched it as it went on. And actually, so part of the reason I wasn't on the podcast last week is I flew home the weekend after my birthday. And so little travel mix up. And then obviously got a little busy here at work because, unlike you, Matt, I am still working during this time.
I'm working from home.
But I was able to watch the final episodes with my family. And it was pretty interesting because my mom, who's a big basketball fan, grew up watching Jordan and I didn't. And then it's been fun to kind of get in this debate about greatest of all time. And that it came up with the idea of talking about something that basketball is really good at, and you can contribute it to David Stern, starting with Magic and Larry, and then went into Jordan and now in today, and really globalizing the game of basketball. And the reason why the NBA is really the number two right now in American sports, if you want to look at it, is it's because of marketability of the athlete, because of guys like Michael Jordan, a LeBron James, a Magic Johnson, a Giannis Antetokounmpo, a Steph Curry, a Kobe Bryant. I mean, those names go on. And there is a huge problem in baseball where baseball right now, from a marketing standpoint, is prioritizing the game itself over the player. Whereas if you look at other sports, they more prioritize the player over the sport as a whole, and it's resulting in higher incomes. You look at it as in the NFL, you have more people know who Tom Brady are than probably watch football. And it's the same thing with like a LeBron. Like, my mom does not watch basketball at all. Like, she might watch it if I'm watching it, but she doesn't. But she knows who LeBron is. She knows who Kobe is. She knows who Michael Jordan is. I mean, her favorite basketball player growing up was Magic Johnson. And there's a problem, and I think we've talked about this before, especially in one of the early podcasts, a big problem with marketability of baseball stars, including someone who, in my opinion, and I think yours, is going to go down as the greatest baseball player of all time, in Mike Trout. And no one knows who he is. And it's kind of a crime. Like, I watched Get Up on ESPN literally yesterday, and they talked about the greatest athletes of the era, and Mike Trout wasn't even brought up in the discussion. And he should be, but really he shouldn't, because who is Mike Trout? Like, I think we know who Mike Trout is and how great he is because we follow the game of baseball. But if I walked out and asked John Doe about who maybe knows a little bit about who Mike Trout is, I bet you they won't say who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation. I mean, you sent me the list from ESPN of the top 100 most famous athletes in the world, and the only baseball player on that list was Bryce Harper at number 99. Mike Trout wasn't even on that list.
So this is a world fame, basically it's a mixture of Google searches, endorsement deals, and social media following. And the number one on the list, it won't surprise people, it's Cristiano Ronaldo, who is the biggest soccer star on the planet. With the 100 search score, $37 million in endorsements, and 148 million social following, and so that deserves it. So soccer's the biggest sport in the world, and then number two is LeBron, then Messi, Neymar, Conor McGregor, Roger Federer. There's a cricket player, Virat Kohli, which says something, and then Rafa Nadal, Steph Curry, and Tiger are the top 10. And you mentioned there's one baseball player. And it's Bryce Harper at 99, who had a search score of $13 million endorsements and 1.4 million social following. So he really got on the list because of his endorsement deals. Mike Trout didn't make the list, and it's pretty incredible. Like, there's how Mike Trout, who is on pace to be the greatest baseball player ever, didn't make the list, first of all. And this is, again, 2019. This is, I believe, before his deal came out, but we both found a couple articles where they talk about it, about Mike Trout and the lack of, I don't want to say fame in it. I don't want to blame Mike Trout. I think it's just baseball as a whole, because they have stars in this league. Like, if you want to look at it, the last, you want to say big star, maybe crossover star in baseball, and maybe still now, you could argue is, yes, who's the most famous baseball player in the world? People are going to say probably either A-Rod or Derek Jeter.
Yeah, probably one of those two.
And right now you have two, and this is because it's the Yankees. You have two great baseball players in New York that are young and marketable, and Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge, especially Aaron Judge, because Aaron Judge looks like an athlete. Like, he looks like he could, you could strap him up and he go play basketball. He could go play tight end for the Giants on Sunday and then go hit three home runs for the Yankees later that night. Like, that's Aaron Judge. I think there, I would put four stars right now in baseball that you could probably cross, and Judge is one of them because he plays for the Yankees. Probably Bellinger because he plays for the Dodgers. Trout for because he's so good. And then obviously Bryce Harper, who people talked about this comparison to, like, a LeBron, a young phenom, because Bryce Harper was talked about when he was 16 years old as the next great baseball player. Obviously, he didn't live it up to as much as LeBron did, but still, like, Bryce Harper is still a big star in baseball. And so those are just four, I think, that could really build a foundation, because there is a lot of young talent in baseball as a whole, maybe more than a while. Like, a lot of great young talent across on every team, and it's a really good opportunity for baseball to market its players to a lot of people and grow the game where it really, it failed in the 2000s.
This has been a consistent problem for baseball for a while, and I remember 2 years ago in the summer of 2018, Rob Manfred actually kind of criticized Mike Trout for not wanting to market himself, and he made some comments to ESPN. He said, quote, "Player marketing requires one thing for sure, the player. You cannot market a player passively. You can't market anything passively. You need people to engage with those to whom you are trying to market in order to have effective marketing. We're very interested in having our players more engaged and having higher profile players and helping our players develop their individual brand, but that involves the player being actively engaged. Mike's a great, great player and a really nice person, but he's made certain decisions about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do." Rob Manfred said that about Mike Trout. And maybe Mike Trout doesn't want to be, you know, the most marketed player. Maybe he doesn't want to be in all kinds of commercials and have all kinds of endorsements. But when you have a player who, as young as he is, has been as successful as he is, that's on you to do the marketing. Yes, the player does have to be involved to an extent, but Major League Baseball has a huge opportunity with Mike Trout. And they, like you said, they have failed. They have not delivered on successfully marketing him. And it's not like he just hides out and is a hermit. I mean, he does a lot of charity and philanthropic work, and he does have endorsements. So it's not like he's just hiding from everybody. He is active in his communities. MLB is just failing to capitalize on that.
I completely agree, and I think if you look, what the NBA had to do was out of necessity, because before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, the NBA Finals was on tape delay, and that's in the early 80s. Think about that.
That's pretty bad.
Maybe the second biggest champion, major sports league championship in the U.S. final was in tape delay in the 80s, and that just shows the growth. The growth. I think really, if you want to look at it from the late 80s to the 90s, the leaps and bounds the NBA took at compared to where Major League Baseball went, because you could argue from the, like, the way you could talk about the decline basically in the steroid era, because baseball was big with, and I know this sounds bad, but with Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, like, dudes looking like freaks hitting home runs. And the way they kind of use that, like, the scandal hurt baseball. And I don't think baseball handled it the right way at all. Like, they haven't. You got plain and simple. At this point, it's over 10 years later. They didn't handle it well because they still had great marketability at that time. They had stars. And that's the last, I don't want to say golden era of baseball, but that was kind of it. And I know saying a steroids era was golden, I just mean in terms of viability or marketability of the league. Like, baseball was so much bigger in the 90s and in the early 2000s. And here's the thing. Baseball is about to go head-to-head, and Jeff Passan keeps bringing this up, about to go head-to-head with playoff basketball and playoff hockey, plain and simple. You are. And they have a chance here to, if they play their cards right, if they can come back and they don't make this dirty, to rebuild an audience, because the Create for Live Sports is going to happen. For me, I'm wanting to watch 24/7 live sports. I'm ready for it. I think you are too. And
yeah,
if baseball doesn't handle this next 2 weeks, 3 months, right, they could build themselves even bigger of a hole long term.
Yeah, you're exactly right, though, about the 90s and the steroid era. I mean, as much as I hate steroids and the players that were using performance-enhancing drugs, and as much as I think that really tarnishes the game, it did create a lot of popularity. I mean, when you had Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa going at it, chasing the home run record that year, baseball was probably as popular as it's ever been.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason there's a 30 for 30 about to come out about it. Like, it was, I mean, Barry Bonds was, whatever you might say about him, and the reason why he might not be the home run or in the Hall of Fame, like, that's a separate conversation. And I know me and you are different sides of the fence of that, but he was a star. Like, and Derek G, like, the last, like, you think about this, like, everything LeBron does is a headline. The last baseball player where that really was is A-Rod. And the reason A-Rod is it now is because he's dating Jennifer Lopez. Or engaged, excuse me, to Jennifer Lopez, who's one of the biggest stars on the planet. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's like, that's why. And I like A-Rod as a player, him as now, you kind of like, I've jokingly said this, like, A-Rod after retirement, I've liked more than any time I've liked A-Rod as a player, because you got J-Lo, and you kind of, as a guy, you just so props. Joking aside, you shouldn't have a retired baseball player as your biggest current star. Because, and if you want to talk about basketball, like, Jordan will always be Jordan, but LeBron is huge. Like, LeBron is one of the top, I would say the biggest athlete in the world, really. Like, him or Ronaldo or Messi, like, that might be the three. And that's the conversation. And baseball is just, it's behind. It's plain and simple, like, behind, and you have stars in big markets. You have two in LA who are young and really good. You have at least two in New York. You could throw Pete Alonso in there with the Mets as three in New York that could be huge stars in Torres, Judge, and that's just the two biggest markets in the country. You got a guy like Chris Bryant in Chicago. You have a guy like Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. I mean, the list goes on. And I think another thing that's hurt Mike Trout in terms of winning cures a lot. Winning does a lot. Winning does a lot.
Yeah, it does.
And if Mike Trout, and this is not Mike Trout's fault. I think this is more the Angels' fault as an organization. He's never won. And I think having your iconic player win, like, think about when LeBron won his third title with Cleveland. Like, the different way people talked about LeBron James, or when Jeter got a ring, or when, I mean, and that's baseball, or when, like, think about how people talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the GOAT, if you want to call him that, because he has six championships. Same thing with Michael Jordan. Winning does a lot. Yeah. And Mike Trout hasn't won. And that is something, I guess, baseball really couldn't have done other than say you shouldn't assign it, like, somehow got the Angels out of the Albert Pujols contract. But that's also, I guess, a problem that hurt baseball is that who of their big, quote-unquote, big stars, who's the last big star to win the World Series? Like, maybe – and I'm talking about, like, marketable. Like, because that national team was very – Anthony Rendon was – phenomenal and one of the best players in baseball, but I bet you no one who's not a Nationals fan or in the game of baseball knows who Anthony Rendon is.
Yeah, I mean, you might look at the 2017 Astros with Verlander and Altuve and Bregman, but obviously they've been tarnished now.
Yeah, and it goes back to that. I mean, I would maybe it's just hard.
It is.
Baseball's, we both love the game of baseball, and I think that's why we're being so critical right now. And it's not like we're saying, all right, the league is going to die, because that's not going to happen. But Major League Baseball, think about this. And this sounds, in the last 50 years, Major League Baseball has gone from the sport in America to the third sport in America.
Yeah.
And that could be a risk.
So, I mean, what do they do to fix it, though? Because if you look at, I mean, a big way of marketing these days is social media. And if you look at Major League Baseball's social media channels, they do post about Mike Trout all the time. You get people in the comments all the time complaining about how much they post about Mike Trout. But I guess that if, you know, their social media is only going to reach people who are already interested in baseball. So I just don't know how you go about fixing this.
Something that really helped, and this is kind of that idea I kind of think off the cuff. What was the moment where basketball really took the biggest leap, especially internationally? Was the Dream Team?
Yeah.
When in Barcelona was the biggest kind of moment in Major League Baseball. It's when Jordan started to become Jordan and Magic. So when's the last time the U.S. had all their best players the Olympics is going to be hard because baseball doesn't come back to what, 2026, I believe, 2024.
No, it was gonna
it's
be
not
this year.
Olympics.
It was going to be this
it was?
Olympics.
All right.
Yeah.
So you have 2021, and I don't think they're doing the World Baseball Classic now in 2021 because of the Olympics.
Yeah.
So you have the 2021 Olympics coming up. If I'm Major League Baseball, and the NBA did a lot of influence with USA Basketball. If I'm Major League Baseball, I'm saying, all right, I'm putting the best American team I can together. And I'm gonna promote the crap out of it. And we're going to build towards the Olympics, and we're going to win gold. And that's going to be difficult. And I would also encourage, like, because baseball naturally is an international game. If you look at all these teams.
Yeah, definitely.
I would talk to the Dominican Republic and get guys. And basically, you're fielding, like, you put the World Baseball Classic on steroids in terms of great players. And you do something where you talk to the players, and you're like, all right, if you're pitching in the Olympics, we'll push back the start of the season a month. Like, because it'll be – or you literally do what the NHL used to do with the Olympics is they would stop the season for the Olympics and then come back. And if I'm Major League Baseball, I would highly consider doing it during the summer.
But here's the thing. They're not letting players on active rosters play in the Olympics, which I think is a huge mistake.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm Major League, that's somewhere you can start. Because it's going to be hard for endorsement deals, like that stuff. But, like, build – and I think they've done some things, like the Omaha game and the game, the Little League World Series game, are always good things. Like, that will build the brand. But you need to figure out how you build stars. And that's what you do. The Olympics is the most watched sporting event in the world every 4 years.
Yeah.
Everyone will watch it. You need to get the most eyeballs in your product, and that's how you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, you got to get – I think they have to get Major League players in the Olympics.
It would open it up for so many countries.
Bryce Harper's in favor of that too.
Think about how good that American team could be. Like, it – and again, it goes back to winning. Winning can cure a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I also think, look, baseball is still in this steroids kind of – I don't say like sludge, but like they're still dirty from it. Like it's not like they've never been able to move past from it. I guess kind like if you think about this, and I think figuring out some way to wipe the slate clean, like in my personal opinion, if you look at any major cheating scandal in other sports, it's kind of been something where you kind of have to just be like, look, I think with steroids and the same thing, like cycling, because another documentary out is about like Lance Armstrong, but accepting it. I think baseball decided not, still hasn't decided to accept that steroids were part of the game. And I think if you're baseball, you have to be like, look, We let it happen. It was something we lost control of, and it happened. Let's move on from it. It's going to take, I think it would help in the long run so immensely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a big issue within baseball is figuring out how to market the players and get more fans interested. It's something they really need to figure out. But something that I'm excited for, you mentioned one of them. There's a documentary coming out soon about Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and their home run chase. But also this Friday, we get a documentary about Roy Halladay and his years pitching for the Blue Jays and the Phillies. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that will be a very interesting and probably a very emotional documentary, but I'm looking forward to watching that this Friday.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. I think, and that should help. I think doing more stuff like that, I think giving access from the, like, something baseball has struggled with that basketball is really good at, and pro football to a certain degree, but especially basketball doing is giving access to players. You feel like the access you get to a LeBron James of the world, and it could be they're doing, but like, is a lot better than a baseball player. And I think baseball needs to figure out ways to kind of be creative with it. And it could be something as simple as miking the players. Like those summer games, like you can say maybe not a playoff game, but like if you have a Sunday night baseball game in June, I would have an all access game and just test it out. Like I don't think it's going to hurt the players.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And just see if it works. And you can do it in the summer months when, honestly, the viewership is down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be in favor of that. I think that would be a good thing to do.
It was a fun discussion to start off the pod. No interview this week. So we got to bash Major League Baseball for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they'll figure things out and baseball will gain some fans and gain some momentum, some more interest over the next couple years. Moving on, every week we discuss a current or former player and look at their career accolades and statistics and try to determine whether or not they will make it into the Hall of Fame eventually. So today's player is Boston Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia. He's had a good career, but I don't know that he'll make it into the Hall of Fame. His career batting average is .299. On base percentage, .365, and a slugging percentage of .439. He has 140 home runs, 725 RBIs, 51.6 wins above replacement, only 1,800 hits. So I don't think he's going to get to that 3,000 hit mark that would really solidify his case. His career started out so great. He won Rookie of the Year and MVP in back-to-back years. And he's won 4 gold gloves. He's a 4-time All-Star. And one thing that will help him is a 2-time World Series champion. But I think that lack of hits is really going to hurt him when it comes time to evaluate his Hall of Fame candidacy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Pedroia kind of had half of a career. It kind of feels like his first year was really our first couple of seasons was really great. I mean, he was a key of those Red Sox teams that won the World Series, or at least the team that won in, I believe, what, 2007?
Yeah, that was his first 2007. Championship.
Yeah, 2007. He was a key part of that. And I mean, I think he had a span where he's the best second baseman in baseball, and I think that will help him. I think defensively he was really great. It's similar to Yadier Molina, where you're like, you think to yourself, like, Dustin Pedroia was great, and maybe the stats don't fully back it up. Obviously, Yadier has a little bit better stats, but it's kind of like you think to yourself, Dustin Pedroia, Hall of Famer? Yes, initially, and then you kind of dive into it, and you're like, it might be closer than you think. It's definitely going to be a toss-up. I think I'm going to say yes because, in my opinion, you're a Hall of Famer. If you were the best in your position for at least 4 to 5 years like he was, I think that's significant enough to kind of be like, yeah, he deserves to get in. And you, I think, can you really name – if you made the 2010 All-Decade team, does he make it at second base? I think he does. It's close, but maybe I think he's the second baseman for the all-decade team.
I just think that these injuries towards the end of his career are really going to hurt him. In 2018, he only played 3 games, and last year he only played 6 games, so he hasn't had a lot of playing time because he's been hurt a lot in the past couple years, and I think that's what's really going to hurt him ultimately. And also, to your point about him being the best at his position, he'll likely be in the same, somewhere around the same Hall of Fame class as Robinson Cano. So those are two very good second basemen that you have to evaluate against each other in terms of the Hall of Fame. And I think Robinson Cano might win that argument.
Yeah, I would say Cano as a batter is way better than Bedoya, definitely, especially from a power standpoint. But defensively, I think Bedoya has it. As me, I'm trying to stay as unbiased as possible during this discussion, because of my feelings toward Dustin Pedroia as a Yankees fan. I would take Cano probably over him, but the argument about him being the best is there. It's there. Like him being the best second baseman over this last part is there. He's definitely a part of the discussion. Cano is a part of the discussion. I can't really think of anyone else, especially from that mid-2000s, early 2010s kind of era of baseball, who really belongs in that discussion. And so it would be interesting to see. I think Cano would get in over him, but I could easily see both get in. I think it's so hard until like you're there. You kind of sit. There's so many different factors, like you said, with injuries. Like he is what, 30, 36 right now. Let's say he comes back this season because it's reduced, and he has a solid season, and maybe gets another one out of it at 37. That's gonna be difficult, but with football players to their mid-40s now, you never know what's gonna happen. So I think he solidifies it more. I think if he gets that 2,000 hit mark, which he's at 1,805, which he could get to at 2,000 hit mark. It just depends on how many games he has left in him, and that's gonna be interesting to see. Gets to the 800 RBI mark, and this is a guy that's has basically hit 300 his career, which is really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, 300 is really impressive, and that usually could make an argument for the Hall of Fame. But I think because of his relatively few hits at 1800, I'm gonna say he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. Also, I don't think we've ever disagreed when we've had one of these debates, so I'm gonna say he doesn't make it.
I will say he does. I think maybe on his last go around. So I think he barely gets in, and that's just more of a kind of a gut instinct of like Pedroia was one of the best. It would be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely will. Well, that's our Hall of Fame discussion for the week, and that's about all we've got to talk about on this week's edition of the Foul Ball Area Podcast, part of the Sports for the Fans Podcast Network. Make sure to check out sportsforthefans.com for more podcast and article content. A lot of good stuff going on over there. Also, check out our website, foulballarea.com. We're still doing our best seasons blog series, taking a look at each MLB franchise's best season in history. So we're going through all 30 teams, going through the National League first, and then we'll get to the American League. Trey has done some good work on the AL East teams, so you'll get to read that here in a couple days. Any last thoughts before we sign off this week, Trey?
No, also a little tidbit, working on some redrafts. I think a lot of articles coming out about that. I'm going to start with the 2009 MLB draft and the debate who should go number one, Steven Strasburg or Mike Trout. So most people probably can figure out who probably would go number one, but breaking it down, it's actually kind of a debate if you think about it. Without Steven Strasburg, the Washington Nationals might not have a ring right now. So going to be pretty interesting to see. Got a lot of great stuff on the website coming out here. I know Matt's been cranking the NL teams away, and pretty excited to start working on some AL teams for the website.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thanks, Trey, for joining me from Kansas. Once again, I look forward to talking to you again next week. I'm Matthew Atkins. Thank you all for listening.